This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sevasodhi. It's our Doctor in the House series, which means Dr. George Lee is on the line with me. How are you today, George?
I'm very good. You know, I'm really looking forward to today's show. For a change, we're not talking about COVID. And however, we're still talking about vaccine, right?
We are actually. It was World Polio Day. We're going to be talking about polio. It's something we don't really talk about, George, because, indeed, you know, 27 years later in 2019, I mean, all those 27 years, we never had polio cases. But in December 2019, one polio case was detected in Sabah, in Malaysia. And in September, just last month actually, our country was declared the polio outbreak to be over. And imagine with one case, we declared it was an outbreak. So we'll find out what that actually means. Joining us today is Dr. Selvakumar Sivapuniam. He's a vice president of the Malaysian Pediatric Association, as well as Dr. Musa Muhammad Nordin, consultant pediatrician and neonatologist. So welcome to the show, gentlemen. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Fine, thank you.
Good to have you back, both of you, Dr. Musa, and of course, welcome, Dr. Selva. We'd like to find out a little bit more about polio. Let's talk about it. It's a virus, am I correct, Dr. Musa? It's a polio virus that we're talking about?
Yep, mm-hmm. Oral polio virus.
And it's been there for a very long time until we came up with the vaccine. It spreads from person to person. It can infect the spinal cord and cause a whole load of, you know, the most common thing would be paralysis, which is what we see in some people, right, today. Do we know how many polio survivors we have in this country, Dr. Selva?
Mira, I was worried you asked the question, actually. At the present moment, we don't have an exact record of how many polio survivors are in Malaysia, unless Dr. Musa can answer that, actually.
Okay. Would you know, Dr. Musa, how many polio survivors we have in this country?
No, I don't. I know that the oldest polio survivor is 75 years old.
Okay. All right. So how do we know how that developed, what that looked like back in time in Malaysia when we didn't have a vaccine for polio?
Actually, I can share my own personal experience. My sister-in-law is a polio survivor. She is about 60-something now. I have my classmates and my university mates, my juniors, some of them in polio. After that, once we started vaccinating back in 72, and by 79, I think polio cases in Malaysia were less. And the last case we had was two polio cases back in 92, when I just graduated. This was also polio detected in a family who refused the vaccine. And we were polio-free in 2000 until the last year that we had another case, actually. But the Musa, do you agree with me?
It's interesting because you remember Trump got COVID?
Yes.
The most powerful man in the world. And another president, Franklin Roosevelt, had polio.
Yep.
So he had paralysis of his lower limb, so he was confined to a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. But some others were not as fortunate because the paralysis occurred in the diaphragm, so they cannot breathe. So they had to go into this iron lung. Imagine that guy who spent 75 years... Sorry, well, he was 6 when he had the polio. So now he's 75, how many, 69 years in that iron lung?
Paul Alexander. And,
that occurs in one in every 200 child who gets polio. Most of them are under 5, but some of them are less fortunate. They actually die from polio. So those who get paralysis of the breathing muscles, about 5 to 10% die from polio. So. Okay. It's a nightmare. I think people need to be reminded of these tragic stories because, as George Santayana said, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. And George, that's why they're refusing vaccines.
Yes.
Because they've not seen these tragedies.
Yep.
Yes.
George?
I mean, gentlemen, forgive me because I'm a mere urologist. In my lifetime, in my career, I've seen not that many polio cases. When I see them, they have neurogenic bladder because of paralysis. They probably have kidney impairment and that sort of a problem. Remind me, how was polio, at what age group will polio transmit? And sort of what is sort of manifestation, occurs? And when was a vaccine introduced?
Can I just take back in time, actually? Polio has been in time immemorial. Some of the Egyptian hieroglyphics shows that this guy with a one leg being very small is because of atrophied leg. So they think polio has existed even in ancient times, but it went through. However, because of the infection and people have got immunized from the wild polio infection. However, when back early 1800s, when industrial revolution occurred, sanitation improved, and the certain blocks of the community did not have this, and this when started back in 1874 in New York, Vermont, the first outbreak of polio among children, and then in New York in 1914, 2,000 people died in one epidemic. Actually, polio just killed everyone, and it was a disease occurring in the Western Hemisphere. Norway and Sweden had the same thing. And people were still looking what was the organism. They didn't know it was bacteria, virus. They were spraying DDT. They were not allowing people, exactly like what COVID caused us. There was lockdown. During summer, you can't go to swimming pool. You can't go to park. You can't go to cinema. They thought it was the air. It was something. And only in 1924, Karl Leimsteiner found the virus. It was a virus, and only then it started off the vaccination. And thanks to Jonas Salk, he found the vaccine in 1955. That is why we are celebrating in honor of his birthday, the World Polio Day, on the 24th of October. Then in 1960, Albert Sabin found the oral polio vaccine. And the oral polio made way because we can do mass vaccination and cover large population. That's how the story of vaccine came about, actually. Dr. Musa, you had it on?
Yeah. Just to add on to what Dr. Selva said, it frightened families, you know. When summer, they should be enjoying themselves. They were so afraid, so they kept indoors. I mean, it was like, # stay home, you know, you don't see friends. In fact, they didn't even phone their friends because they thought it was transmitted through the telephone, you know. So churches were closed, there was no theaters, you know, and they didn't send their kids to summer school, you know. So it's a very frightening scenario because they don't know what was happening. And as Selva was saying, they were spraying with DDT thinking it was mosquitoes.
Yeah.
But when Salk founded that vaccine in 1955, then the states was doing 15,000 a year. And then in the next decade, and then Sabin came with the oral vaccine, OPV, yeah? In 1961, 6 years later, the next decade in 1960, it dropped to 15,000 to 1,000. And in the 1970, it was just 10 cases. So that was the effect of the vaccine. But remember, if you look at the whole world, in 1988, there was 1,000 paralysis every day, i.e. 350,000 cases of polio. But now it's gone right down to under 100 cases in only two countries, Afghanistan and Pakistan. Yeah, okay. Mira.
All right. Why under fives? Why are the under fives more prone to picking this up?
Mainly, it's because of the nature of the virus spread. Actually, it's fecal-oral. That means that you get it. I mean, the infected person is infectious up to even 35 days once they get infection, and they excrete this virus into their feces, and it goes into our water system. If an area with very poor sanitation and the food handlers or the food that we eat is contaminated. And that's how children get it, actually. And of course, you know, children's less than five, their hygiene is not good, and that's why they get it. Of course, there's another way poliovirus can also be infected. Again, through the nasal cavity when you sneeze and same thing, but the most of the infection occurs through the fecal oral route, and this is the age group. Saying that, adults also can get like infection from polio. For example, like what Dr. Musa said, President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, he got it when he was 29 years old. He didn't get it when he was younger. He got it at 29 years old, and one day he woke up, he had fever and such with neck pain, and he woke up the next day, he couldn't move his lower limbs. And that's why since then he has been on wheelchair, but despite that, he went on to become American president. And as Dr. Musa said, being a president, he was the one, the major force of pushing a lot of research into poliomyelitis and also the vaccine. And that started off the vaccination program for polio in the States.
Okay, but then does that mean President Roosevelt was not vaccinated?
Oh, yes, he wasn't vaccinated.
He wasn't vaccinated, okay.
He wasn't vaccinated because vaccination started in the States after 1955 when Salk found the inactivated polio vaccine, the injectable one. And then Sabin found the oral polio 4 or 5 years later in 1960, but came in the market 1961.
Okay. Just to make it clear, the President Roosevelt wasn't an anti-vaxxer, right?
You know, as I'm listening to all of you, it sounds like COVID. It just seems like the same journey, you know.
Mira, yeah. I'll just give you an idea. You know the Delta virus, yeah?
Yeah.
The reproduction number is anything between 5 to 7. Yeah. One of you can, you pass it on to 5 or 7. And then they cascade, yeah? Polio, the reproduction number is 4 to 6. So it's very, very contagious, very, very infectious. And that's why even one case, we label it as an outbreak or as an epidemic. And that's why the WHO raised the red flag when we had that case in December 2019 in Tuaran, Sabah.
Okay. Yeah, Mira. We'll come back and talk about that. Why is it you say it's an epidemic or it's an outbreak with one case in Sabah? We'll come back and have that discussion. If you have a question for either Dr. Selva, Dr. Musa, or even Dr. George on polio, it is World Polio Day. We're hoping to end polio. Well, it has. Technically, in September, we are considered the polio outbreak is over. But what does that mean for Malaysia going forward? If you have a question, give us a call. It's 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. It is our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee co-hosting with me, consultant urologist. And we're discussing World Polio Day with Dr. Selva Kumar Sevapuniam. He's a vice president of the Malaysian Pediatric Association. And Dr. Musa Muhammad Nordin, consultant pediatrician and a neonatologist. We left off with, you know, a little bit of a history of polio and you know, President Roosevelt. I think that's a really good place to start reading if you want to find out a lot more about polio. But Malaysia introduced the vaccination program. Polio, the vaccine became part of the National Immunization Program in 1972. And it's given as part of the 6-in-1 jab, the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, whatever. I cannot pronounce it, Dr. Musa. Help me. Hemophilus influenza type B and hepatitis B. Did I say it all correct? Okay.
Yes.
Well done. Okay. So 6-in-1 jab. How effective has it been? And how did we even have that one case in 2019? Dr. Musa?
Oh, Dr. Selva, please.
Okay, Dr. Selva, go
for it. Mira, before that, actually, Malaysia started with the polio vaccination, with oral polio vaccination, actually, and it has been very successful. As we know, our healthcare has been very good. Our national immunization program has been always very good. We have achieved 95% coverage. That's the reason why we managed to completely eradicate polio and polio-free from 2000. In 2008, we decided to embark on the inactivated polio vaccine, the injectable one. And in this year, we have a 6-in-1 all together as the injectable vaccine. That's the history of the polio vaccine. Why that was one case in Sabah? These are the pockets of the under-immunized children in certain areas of Malaysia, mainly Sabah. And that's the reason why once we have a very successful immunizing program and we have these pockets of people who are under-immunized, they are the one who will be a trigger to start on having this polio outbreak. As Dr. Musa said, one case equals to outbreak or an epidemic.
Yeah, let's come back. Yeah, let's come back to that. I mean, I was born in 1972, which means I probably had the oral poliovirus vaccine. Am I correct? The
one yeah, that you shouldn't
did. Declare yes, your you
It's okay. I tell the whole world how old I am, George. What I'm trying to get at is, does that mean George didn't get the vaccine? Because he's older.
I didn't get the vaccine either.
Oh, no. What about Dr. Musa? So all of you haven't been vaccinated for polio?
No.
I'm not going to stop here with you laughing. What does this mean? I'm the only one who's been vaccinated. What does this mean? Don't go. Okay, moral of the story, don't go to Afghanistan or Pakistan is all I can say.
Okay, you know? Coming back to that, if you're an adult, and if you are planning to travel to a country where there is polio still, then you have to get a vaccine. Or you're an adult working in areas where you're dealing with polio. For example, the staff's been working in a lab with polio. These people, there's an adult vaccination program for adults for polio vaccination. And it's again 4 doses.
Okay, so there is a vaccine for adults. I mean, would you encourage people to take it or not? If you the 1972 boat.
If you're in Malaysia right now, we are polio free. I wouldn't advise. But if you are traveling to Afghanistan and Pakistan, that's what the CDC and WHO's advisory that you must take the polio vaccine. One first dose, then subsequently six months later, and one more later on. Actually, Dr. Musa, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to realize that part of our movement from oral polio to injectable polio, it's part of the end game to eradicate polio, just like we eradicated smallpox in 1980. In fact, the goalposts for the end game has been moving since 2000, and now we're targeting it at 2023. Yeah, the end game strategy. So now, since Malaysia is polio free, in 2008, we moved from oral polio to injectable polio. The reason why this move is because with the oral polio, right, there is this 1 in 2 million risk that you get vaccine associated paralytic poliomyelitis. This is this is one of the drawbacks of the vaccine. It's extremely rare, 1 in 2 million, but it happens. But with the injectable vaccine, it is zero, right? So that's why Malaysia moved 2008 to the injectable vaccine. Now it's part of the combo, as Mira has mentioned. So most of the developed countries now has shifted from oral polio to injectable polio. And towards 2023, most of the other countries will also be doing similarly. Yep.
Okay. There is something called vaccine-derived polio. And why does it occur? And there's this misconception that vaccine-derived polio is caused by the vaccine. Can you clarify that, Dr. Selva?
Actually, this is after the oral polio vaccine, the vaccine-derived polio virus, the one that's active now is the type 2, and it's because of the mutating virus, because an active live virus actually. And again, this is for it to cause poliomyelitis is very rare, like what Mr. said actually. Therefore, once we are, the developed countries have moved towards using the inactivated polio, the injectable one, we will see less of this actually.
We've actually eradicated, there are 3 types of strains, yeah? Poliovirus 1, 2, and 3. In 2015, we virtually eliminated type 2. And 4 years later, we eliminated type 3. All right? So they've moved from the trivalent vaccine to the monovalent or bivalent vaccine. So what happens is that when they take that oral polio, right, it stays in the intestine and it's excreted that virus is life attenuated, i.e. it is living.
Right.
So when it is in an ambience where it is under immunized, it is able to mutate and it becomes virulent. It can cause paralysis. This is mainly type 2 strain, you know, because we are not using, we are using only type 1 and type 3, you see, as a bivalent OPV. So we've lost memory about type 2. So type 2 is the one that is now in Africa and in parts of the Southeast Asia. So this is the circulating vaccine-derived poliovirus.
Okay. So when you say bivalent and trivalent, you're talking about the vaccine which protects from the either two strains or the three strains. Am I correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
George, you want to add on?
Well, I want to catch Mira's query at early on. I have no idea whether I've been protected from polio or not, because obviously I was born in 1969 and then the vaccine was only introduced in 1972. I have no idea whether I can do that. But my question is that how did we manage to eradicate it when polio can affect adults, but yet we didn't have any catch up of, protecting the rest of the population? Can someone explain that to me, please?
Actually, most of the polio infections are very, very silent. They are asymptomatic. 90-95% of us get polio infection. It's just another, just asymptomatic. Or we have some flu and fever and we recover from it. It's only the 5% of that, only about 1-2% get a paralytic polio. So most of us would have got the infection from nature and we have already got the immunity.
Right.
That's why we don't get the.
Okay.
Yeah, George, this is natural boosting.
Right.
This is how I'm trying to explain what's happening in Singapore with their COVID, because their population is naive. You know, there was no natural meeting with the virus. Even when they had the dormitory cluster in their second wave, all the migrant workers were kept in their dormitories. They didn't mix with the wider community. So when they had this third wave, it really hit them very bad. And this, apart from Singapore having a very aged population, and most of the aged population refused the Pfizer and Moderna and instead took another vaccine, yeah? Unlike Malaysia, right, we've got 2.4 million. For bad or for worse, or for good, you know, that helps with natural immunity. That's 7% of our population. So that confers some amount of natural boosting, right? And you must, it must be mentioned that if you get COVID, you only require one vaccine and you've got what's called hybrid immunity. It's really power. This is what's happening with polio. I suspect George had his probably one or two doses when he was in standard five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they get it at 2, 3, 4, and then standard 1, and then that's it. And then standard 6. So you probably had it. So I never had a polio shot. Mine was natural.
Right. Okay, so George, you've got some protection. You would have got in school somewhere.
Yeah.
Did you queue up?
It's so-called herd immunity, right?
Sorry?
It's so-called the herd immunity, right?
In a way, yes. Yes, it is the herd immunity, right? Is what Dr. Musa is actually explaining. When you say naive, you're not talking about knowledge. Just to be clear, Dr. Musa is not talking about knowledge naivety. In Singapore, we're talking about exposure to the virus naivety.
Immunity naive.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, and a booster at 18 months, Dr. Musa. Do you still do standard 6 now? No, there's no need for that.
Oh, yes, we still do. Not the polio, but just the diphtheria and tetanus.
Okay. Not the polio.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Are you concerned at all about, Malaysia and, Dr. Selva, you called me up and you said you wanted to some sort of exposure to polio. I know you're part of the NGO Rotary Club and, of course, Imaret as well, working with the MOH when it comes to polio. Why this need to want to come and create awareness when actually, we are really not in real danger? Why do you think that, awareness is still important, Dr. Selva?
It's very important, Mira. When I ask some of my house officers and my medical students that I teach, none of them know about polio. I mean, if you ask them, then they just go and Google about it and they read about it. None of them know about polio. But when we were medical students, we used to see the victims of polio survivors, actually. And until we eradicate the last polio from the head of it, like smallpox, there is still a danger. And that clearly exemplified in December 2019, what happened in Sabah. And that's the reason why we still have to be on surveillance and on the guard to avoid such incident. That's why in Ministry of Health, according to the WHO's directive, we always, what we do, a surveillance program called acute flaccid paralysis. Any child less than 15 years old who comes in with paralysis or any cause, we always take their stool sample and send it to the lab to look for any evidence of poliovirus. And similarly, the health authorities, the public health measures are, they'll always look at the water system and test regularly looking for wild polio and the circulating vaccine-derived polio. That's the way how we are doing our surveillance. When we find one, we have to look for more, and we have to do what we did in Sabah. Back in 2019, when the thing happened, the WHO, our Ministry of Health, and the NGOs and Rotary mobilized, and they went full force to immunize those unimmunized children, and they covered everyone. And here, I'm sure Dr. Musa will agree, we use the oral polio because we had to cover masses, actually. And that's what we managed to clear, and we were declared polio-free on the 10th of September, 2021. And my colleagues, the Rotarians in Sabah especially, we have a different district, 3310. I asked them, and they spent almost about 140K mobilizing, basically mobilizing, bringing the staffs and everything, the Ministry of Staff. But they have to go through the helicopters, they go through boats, they have to go through everywhere because Sabah is a very remote and large area. And they managed to do that despite the COVID threat. Even though we were locked down for a few months, after the lockdown, they managed to and clear and ensure that every child got the immunization for polio.
Yeah. So don't let our guard down is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Never exactly. Let your guard down. Sorry, George, you have a question.
I mean, gentlemen, I would like to find out, in many countries, in order to get the coverage as much as possible to as many children as possible, like, for example, in Malaysia, we achieved up to 98%, which you mentioned, there is a mandatory policy for children to be vaccinated before they go to school. And is that the same in Malaysia? And is that mandatory? If you choose not to have it done, are your children allowed to go to school?
Yeah, so we'll come back and find out. Yeah, we'll come back and find out more about, to build on George's question. Also, I suppose it's the vaccine hesitancy issue, right, that we have in Malaysia. That's interesting, whether or not you can go to school if you haven't got the vaccine. Coming up next, if you have a question for us, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's our Doctor in the House series. If you have just joined us, my co-host, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, on the line with us. Also, we're discussing World Polio Day. Dr. Selva Kumar Sivapuniam, Vice President of the Malaysian Pediatric Association, and Dr. Musa Muhammad Nordin, consultant pediatrician and neonatologist, on the line with us, giving us end-to-end talk or awareness about polio. Nobody really talks about this. It's good to know history. It's good to know that we had one case in 2019 and how we should never, ever let our guard down because, you know, so many of us, right, we've not seen the nightmare of how people had to manage something like polio in the past, right? It's like COVID. We've seen it firsthand. We can relate to it for a couple of more generations and then everyone will forget because they never experienced it. And then they'll say, why bother getting the vaccine? Because so what? It's no big deal. You were never in it. You never experienced it, you know. So it's very much the same thing. George, you had a question just now about whether or not we should allow children to go to school. Is it mandatory for children to get the 6-in-1 shot, which includes polio, the vaccine? What are your thoughts on that, Dr. Selva?
Amira, I would like to get to Musa to answer the question first.
He's the vaccine king. Yeah, go for it, Dr. Musa.
vaccine rock star.
By the way, Mira, it's not one case we had in Malaysia. We had four cases. Yeah. That one case was a Malaysian, and that child was only partially immunized. That's why it's important for parents to remember to fully immunize your kids. And now with COVID, they're so frightened to go to the hospital, so many of the kids have to do a catch-up with the immunization. Right. The other three kids who got polio, this was the circulating vaccine-derived poliovirus, yeah, type 1, you know, were migrants, you know, were immigrants. So they did not have the benefit, zero vaccine. So I think the government needs to be conscious about this, because they would be an epicenter of an outbreak. The refugees, the stateless, the migrants, we need to make sure that they are fully covered, all right? Because vaccinology is about three C's, coverage, coverage, coverage. Now, returning to George's question, in Australia, it's very clear, no jab, no play, i.e. cannot enter the kindies or the schools. No jab, no pay, you don't get your child benefits. So, man, it's tough. In the United States, when my two girls were supposed to enroll in university, they asked you the whole lot of questions. Have you had your DPT, your polio? Not only that, have you had your meningococcal vaccine, your chickenpox vaccine, your MMR, and your meningococcal vaccine? States, they're very, very thorough. Just the opposite is United Kingdom.
So, sorry, you know? I just have to say something. I mean, they make us all get all those vaccines, but are they all vaccinated for all of these, really, Dr. Musa,
yes,
in the US?
Before they can enter into university in the States. Otherwise, you won't be enrolled. That's the point George was trying to make. Unfortunately, in Malaysia, even though we've got a very nice national immunization program, at the end of the day, it is not mandatory. It's up to the parents. And that's why some of the parents who are against the whole idea of vaccination have refused to vaccinate their children. I've seen them in my clinics, yeah? So, and now it's filtering into the COVID scenario, yeah? So I think, as we mentioned, polio is very contagious, yeah? Equally contagious like the Delta variant. That's why we need to attain 95% coverage. And that's why all our kids, yeah, all those with natural immunity are protecting some of us, yeah, we've never had the polio virus. So we are the 1 or 2% that's been protected by this herd immunity. Yeah, Mira.
Okay. George?
No, I mean, it's interesting that you pointed out Australia, no jab, no pay, no jab, no play. And then, but they can force children to have it done, but they can't force themselves to have it done as adults for COVID.
Yeah.
Well, neither can we, George. I mean, even we don't do that, right?
Hey, adults are difficult. No, George, we've got no experience of adult vaccination in Malaysia because there is no vaccine that is in the adult national immunization program. In fact, us in the Malaysian working group on influenza, we are trying to push for the influenza vaccine for our elderly population, because they are the ones who get it really bad in influenza. And of course, the other vaccine that elsewhere is doing for the adult is the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine. Yeah. So we've got zero experience. That's why we had lots of trouble when we were vaccinating the adults with COVID. But we've got excellent experience, MOH, with childhood vaccination. Yeah, that's why I have told the Minister of Health, you want to learn about adult vaccination, you learn from your private practitioners, from your general practitioners, from your family physicians, from your Malaysian Medical Association, from Islamic Medical Association, because they've been doing all the adult vaccinations, not the Ministry of Health. The only adult vaccination Ministry of Health does is tetanus for the pregnant mother.
Right.
Yep, Mira.
Okay. And what's being done now to monitor for possible new cases of polio? I mean, do we have anything in place, a surveillance program for detecting?
As I said earlier, Mira, the acute flaccid paralysis program, that every doctor or pediatrician who comes across, they must report it and send a stool sample. That's one way. And the other one, the public health measures that monitoring the regularly intervals of all the water sources and the sewage system. That's how we monitor.
Okay. So like places like Sabah, the borders are porous. You are going to have migrants. You're going to have a lot of undocumented people in Sabah. Are we? Do we have a more stringent or surveillance for detecting cases of polio there, for an example? Or do we have to depend on NGOs like the Rotary Club, for an example?
I think the Ministry of Health, especially the Sabah state, they've been doing quite well, actually. What the NGOs does is help them with the accessibility. So Sabah state, I mean, I was working there back in 1992. We had a lot of tetanus and everything. And again, like Dr. Musa said, like you said, porous, we used to get our patients from the Philippines and Indonesia. And to just record the same type 1 circulating vaccine-derived poliovirus that was detected in Sabah, the same genetic pattern was detected in Philippines and Indonesia during the same time. So we believe that it came across. But now, I mean, as the frontliners, we are doing our best to detect by our surveillance to control it. But it also takes a whole lot of effort from every agency because, as you likely said, Sabah is a very porous country and the immigration is very difficult for us to control.
And Malaysia was declared free from polio by WHO in September, September 10th to be exact, just last month. What does that actually mean for us?
That means that we don't have. We don't have a wild polio circulating in our country. Of course, the type 1 vaccine derived circulation was there, but now we have cleared it. So that's why they say we are polio free. But despite that, we need very vigilant surveillance that we don't want until we clear the vaccine the polio in Afghanistan and in Pakistan, and also our neighboring countries will adopt the injectable inactivated polio virus, then we will see the last of even the circulating vaccine-derived polioviruses. Then we can say that we are free. And that's why we are looking at 2023.
Dr. Musa, Afghanistan and Pakistan, do you think we'll ever have a chance of eradicating or even, immunizing the people there, the kids, children there?
No, we've done very well. And I think we must give tribute to Rotary International because even before WHO went on board, it was Rotary in 1985. They put aside $100+ million, to try and eliminate polio. And then in 1988, when we had about 1,000 paralysis a day, they pushed for the World Health Assembly to target towards the elimination of polio. They gave a date, 2000-something, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when they got on board the WHO, the UNICEF, United Nations Children's Fund, and later they got on board Bill and Melinda Gates, and then the CDC. I think it's about six of them, right? Six of them, and pioneered by Rotary International. And the fact that Rotary was big in India to make India polio free was unthinkable, and they achieved that in 2013, Siva.
2014, that's all. In fact, I like to say.
So it is doable. Is doable. Yes. Now Africa is polio free. 2020, that's a year ago. Africa, the last was Sudan. Nigeria. So now there's only one region in the world that is still harboring that wild polio virus. About just under 100 wild polio virus. That's Afghanistan and that's Pakistan. That comes under the East Mediterranean Regional Office of the WHO. So that's the target that we hope we can achieve. Because remember 1988, we had 350,000 paralysis.
Yeah.
Now we are down to less than 100. I mean, that's amazing. But we must do like what we did for smallpox. 1980, let's try. The target now is 2023. We can do it.
Afghanistan.
I must share this in 1995. The healthcare workers and the NGOs, like mainly Rotary in India, in 1 week, we immunized 165 million children in China and India. That's why we managed to get India and China free by 2014, actually. In fact, the entire Western Pacific region was declared free. It's only the two spots in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And I will share later, if you want to listen to the person himself, the WHO rep for the Eastern Mediterranean region, he'll be speaking to us on the 24th of October morning.
What are the challenges with Afghanistan and Pakistan?
Okay, I read a book and I found, I found that the challenges in Afghanistan and Pakistan is because of the infrastructure and the other inherent problems there. I mean, if you a country with a lot of other problems, then we are forcing them to give the polio vaccine, whereas the entire infrastructure economy is not strong. That's why the penetrance wasn't there. And with the sanitation issue again, that's the reason why. But I believe that with even with Taliban, the Taliban has come forward now, if you have listened to the news, they are willing to work with the Rotarians and the other NGOs to help to immunize all their children and get rid polio free from Pakistan, as we have promised, similarly in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Okay.
Can I just give 3 points, Mira?
Sure.
One, Afghanistan, because of the war and because of issues with Taliban, but as several have mentioned, they are going to cooperate with the WHO. Now, in Pakistan, there's religious issues, just like in Nigeria. They thought the vaccine would make you infertile. So that's a religious issue. So that's that we sent some of our scholars from the Federation of Islamic Medical Association to speak to the scholars there. Now, the three, this is problematic. You remember when they were after Osama bin Laden? They sent down their CIA spies who acted as vaccinators to do the hepatitis B. So that's why the Pakistanis became hysterical.
Yeah.
They use vaccines, you know? So it's understandable why they became very, very suspicious of this vaccine thingy, you know? So that's why Pakistan and Afghanistan has got issues.
Right. The distrust, yep. Right? Who would have thought it would come and bite you in the back one day? Would you have a message for us, Dr. Selva?
Yeah, I mean, as part of the, as a pediatrician, I would like to see polio be given for the world as smallpox. Once we have done that, then we are looking at measles. So we need to get polio out first. And that's the reason why I joined Rotary. And I'm the End Polio Chair for Malaysia, District 3300. And a lot of us do a lot of fundraising. I just want to mention the $3 US dollars that you donate can vaccinate one child. Roughly comes about Malaysian 12 ringgit. And each dollar, the Bill and Melinda Gates, they triple it. So $1 becomes $3. And that's why, like Dr. Musa said, I mean, from 1979, one of the RI presidents from Australia, he went to the Philippines. And at that time, Philippines, a lot of polio, they started. And the idea came from him, 1985, 88, the GPI. And now we are in 2021. In fact, we should, like what Dr. Musa said, by 2000, we should have cleared the world free of polio. But because of the inherent problem, war, religious issues in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, we were delayed.
Sure.
But I'm sure that we can reach that by 2023.
Sure.
With the help of the polio and also, I mean, the Rotary and also the World Health Organization, UNICEF, and the other agencies.
Is there a website we can go to donate this $1?
Okay, exactly. If you go to the Rotary International website, and it's very easily accessible, and you go to End Polio, and you just click in there, and anyone can donate, actually.
Okay. Dr. Musa, your message?
Well, the end game is we cannot coexist with polio, right? We've eradicated smallpox in 1980. The target is 2023 for polio. Let's do it together. And Malaysia has to do its bit. We've done well to now become polio-free again. We need to help our colleagues in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And I think Rotary provides us with a vehicle to do that. And you know, we're talking about now moving on to measles, eliminating measles. We're talking about congenital rubella. So we cannot coexist with them, right? We're having issues with COVID, and that's for another discussion. Yes. I think that's an overdose of COVID.
Well, that's a new problem. That's a new problem.
Yeah. Hopefully, every one of us can do our bit with making sure that all our kids get fully immunized with the program in the National Immunization Program of Malaysia.
George.
Thanks, BFM.
You're welcome, George.
Nina, can I share a last one? Sorry.
We're running out of time, Dr. Selva. Go ahead.
We are having a webinar on the 24th of October at 10 o'clock to 12 p.m. And it's done by the Rotary District 3300. It's on our Facebook. I encourage all to join and listen to Dr. Musa again and a few other speakers from around the world.
Okay.
Thank you.
George?
Well, Mira, imagine the vaccine was discovered in 1955. And 2021, we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
So for COVID, we've still got a long way to go.
Many, many years. Thank you.
Gentlemen, good luck with World Polio
Day.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you very much. That was very enlightening. That was Dr. Selva Kumar Sivapuniam, Vice President of the Malaysian Pediatric Association, and Dr. Musa Muhammad Nordin, Consultant Pediatrician and Neonatologist. And of course, my co-host, Dr. George Lee, Consultant Urologist. This World Polio Day on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.